Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tia Carrera is theoretically going to be in the Loveline studio sometime tonight. She's currently on the cover of Playboy and looking good.
She could be waylaid by the crowd outside. You know what I'm saying?
The irony of the dump known as Loveline is, well, first off, the only people that can find Loveline are the ones we don't want to find Loveline, but mm-hmm. the celebrities have a lot of difficulty finding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the people that stock the celebrities that have zero trouble finding the studio.
Zero.
And number three, when they started this gargantuan construction project in the parking lot next to where we are, which really, there was one thing about this place that made it tolerable, which is you could pull your car right up to the back door. That was the one and only thing that was decent about this hellhole, this pit, Satan's spittoon. That's the only thing that was good about this dump, and that has been erased. I piped up the second they broke ground, saying we got to get out of this asshole before they finish the building next to us, because I know we're going to end up moving when they're done putting the last coat of paint on the building that they're working on that is destroying my life. And, of course, it's not going to happen. We will move the second they're done.
Oh, yeah.
Not a second earlier.
Why be surprised it was even that quick?
Okay. I blame you, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Like you, producer Ann, I blame everybody but me.
Okay.
Except for the reason we're going to move is because I had to pick up the goddamn phone eventually. Because it's nothing would never happen otherwise. Never.
I made several calls on your behalf. We should call.
Yeah, all right.
It's kind of the same as how you leave every time I'm gone.
Yeah.
You're going to be gone when I have my filling in, and that's hell for him.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about, Anderson, but be quiet. Tia Carrera is here. Tia, great to see you, baby.
Party.
Did you miss me?
I was held up by people outside waving nude photographs at me.
See?
I don't like that. It's changed. Hello.
Hi.
What's
Janet.
Changed? Hi.
You've all changed. No. The entrance to this place is a little spooky now.
Yeah, we were just sharing about that, in fact. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
But anyway, it's
great.
Nice to be here.
How would you describe that entrance now? Just make sure to corroborate what Adam is saying.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll move.
Free renaissance.
We're so goddamn stupid. What's wrong with us? We're just going to, we'll let them build this huge skyscraper right next to us for 6 months and we'll move the day it's over. What is that? That's all right with everybody? That's fine. That's the way we want to go through life. We'll just sit there and let things happen to us and we'll just bend over and spread our cheeks. That's it. Drew, no opinions on that?
Is that the question for the for
evidently
tonight?
Not.
Should he spread his
you know,
cheeks?
You and I both have talked to the powers that be.
Right. Right. Okay. Right?
Your
no.
talking to them didn't get any
I'm
faster.
I'm sorry. Was it
my talking
now, Drew, don't. Hold on a second, Tia. Don't go down that path. Drew, you want to go down that path?
No. Did you have more luck than I did?
Yes. I got on the phone with our agent and made him give us a time when we're going to move.
Right. I talked to him, too, and they're saying,
To him because I yelled at you to talk to him.
Whatever.
All right, I'm done. Tia, what's...
Hello.
I can't believe we're here. This place sucks, right?
Well, I'm happy to see you guys.
You.
I don't know about y'alls.
Yeah, did you miss us?
It hasn't been that long, has it?
Well, it has been a while. Last time I was here, you were dating a Dixie chick, so that's how long it's been.
Oh,
no way.
No, he just told that story, I think.
Yeah, I must have just told the story.
Oh, okay.
Well, you were here how long ago? Or is it on my sheet somewhere?
27 years ago.
Really?
To the day.
About a year ago, right?
No, more? I think it was longer.
It's been a while.
Well, we were trying to figure out what you were promoting last time. That's how we were trying to put it in...
I don't know. There's always something, isn't there?
She was,
and now it's a magazine.
It was Wayne's World.
No, it wasn't Wayne's World. That, I am certain.
No, it was Relic Hunter she was probably promoting last time she was here.
That's what it was.
Yes.
3 years of Relic Hunter.
Oy.
It's still on. I just saw it the other night.
It's still on. I'm not doing it, and it just keeps coming. They've got new episodes. I'm not even there. No, I did 66 of them, so, you know, they've got a few to go through.
Where did you film that?
Toronto, Spain, England, France. It was a great adventure.
Mm. Wow.
But I'm happy to be back home.
Mm. And now, what made you do Playboy? I imagine you were approached to do Playboy many times in your career.
Yeah, it's been about, you know, 3 or 4 times. It's a question that's come up over the years. But I guess they caught me at a good time. Now, it's funny. I guess it was sort of coming out of a marriage, feeling, I don't know, going through this whole thing of feeling badly about myself and then sort of spending time and feeling better and getting, you know, feeling better and taking care of myself. And I don't know, maybe it's expression of freedom. And also it was, I realized the reason why I was always so shy about taking risque photos or doing parts in films was because I felt self-conscious about my body. Mm. And I always... I mean, I'd even gone to the point of, like, going to see a plastic surgeon or something, thinking that I should do something, because it's become de rigueur. I mean, you know, 17-year-old girls are thinking they have to go out and get boob jobs because in magazines...
Yeah, don't get
surprised. I know.
Because you think that that's what you're supposed to look like.
Yeah,
after... Right, he's looking at the magazine, he's ooing and aahing, folks. He's not listening to a word
this
I'm saying.
This is great. No, go ahead.
No, but it's true. I mean, I was feeling very badly about my body, and I thought, that's crazy. If I'm feeling that, then how much more so must the housewife at home, whose husband looks at this magazine or other magazines like it, or even films now, actresses get, you know, augmentation and lips and boobs and everything, and she's feeling like she's, you know, got a third eye in her forehead because she doesn't feel this narrow view of beauty that we pander in America. And so it was sort of, I don't know, I'm the anti-pinup.
She jumped right in.
I'm the anti-pinup.
So that that's why you post naked, to make people feel better about themselves?
It was definitely because I was feeling, like it was something to feel good about myself.
I'll tell you why you post naked.
Why?
Okay, two reasons. Money was right. And let me say something, everybody. Nothing wrong with doing something for money. We try to get away from that as a society quite a bit, or at least we do. People are in the entertainment business, but let's face it.
I've done a few movies for that.
It's a motivating force. I just did 500 Burger King commercials for the money. For the money. I mean, everyone who listens to the show gets up and goes to work in the morning, which is fully 30% of our listeners. Maybe less, actually. But all you folks, you get up and leave for the money. And that's fine. So money's
I'm not
fine.
Bad.
And like I said, you wouldn't do it for free. They do it. Mm-hmm. Do it because you're worth something. That's fine. Number two, and I've found this because we have spoken to a lot of women who've been on Playboy, done Playboy, and done it at a later point in their career. Mm. They weren't 19 or 20 when they did it. Not that Tia's old by any stretch of the imagination, but I believe you look spectacular in the magazine, and no matter how old you get and how far time marches on, you are chronicled in this magazine looking how you look at this point in time, and that can never be taken away. I guess as a guy, you want to picture yourself in a football uniform at 19.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the shot you want of yourself, holding the ball, turning the corner kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And for women, if most women, and especially as they get a little older, would love to be able to dust off that magazine, the Playboy.
It's not a bad thing to be on the front page of that magazine and be held up as beautiful.
Yeah.
It's nice that all natural can be held up as beautiful, as well as plasticized, synthetic, you know, collagenized.
Yeah, and I do, and I wonder, I think this is women competing against women, and it has been to the detriment of women and men, because I got the Playboy channel, and I swear to Christ, I see all the little tats at the small of the back, and the fake boobs, and the bleached out pubes, and the crazy, everyone looks like a stripper now. And I go crack open one of those Playboys from 1979, 1980, when it was in my wheelhouse. And I know, Drew, you're going to say, you just like that better because you're beating off feverishly to it in high school. True.
Not just because of that.
True. But I really do like the way those women look with the natural breasts and minus
like
the tats. That's right. That's right.
You like my pictorial then.
Okay. I also don't
mind. I harken back to the days before.
Right. All right, I'm going to do some harkening when I get home.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I knew I was in trouble when
I came
here.
Can you wait till you get home, will you please?
That's too late. And give me the magazine on the way.
I know.
Oh, no. No, I would never do that out of respect. Are you single?
Newly fiancéed, as a matter of fact. Looking at all the rings around here.
What's your fiancé think about this? Is he or she okay with this?
Funny. He is very supportive and understood exactly where it came from, so he's totally cool.
Yeah. I would say, here's how I would break it down. 50% of guys wouldn't be really down with it. 50% of guys would just be sort of indifferent about 25% of guys would be indifferent about it, and then the last 25 would be kind of turned on by it. Like, hey, look at this, my woman here. Not bad, huh? Right?
Yeah. Well, he's sort of like the I support you, you know, whatever you do. I guess indifferent.
No, P-whipped, we call it.
Oh.
Robert, P-different.
P-different. P-diddy.
P-indifferent.
Robert, you're 19.
Yeah. Want me to tell you a story?
Not really, no. No. Hang on. Let's put him on hold. Kathy?
Yeah?
You're 30?
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than 19-year-old guys telling these stories.
Go ahead, Kathy.
What's up? You're 30.
Yeah?
What's up?
Oh, boy.
I just wanted to find out. I was told, I always thought that a penis ring was just like, you know, jewelry, and I was told it has a function, and I want to find out what it is.
Means your penis is engaged, your balls, right? Is that what that means?
In what context was this brought up? What do you may mean different things.
Well, no, he said it had a function, like...
Yeah, what kind of ring, who brought this up?
A doctor.
Were you discussing erectile dysfunction or something?
No, actually, what I was talking to him about was just trying to get, you know, ideas on different ways to please my husband. And he mentioned that, and he didn't go into any further into it, and I just wanted to find out what it was.
Really?
Well, I think he's talking about there are these devices that snap on the base of the penis, and then these vacuum tubes that help men get erections if you have erectile discomfort, this dysfunction.
But I think that problem.
No, I think he might have been talking about a C ring.
Yeah, that's what she said. A penis ring,
which is, you know, penis ring. Interestingly enough, that could mean a Prince Albert ring. That could mean ampoule. That could mean the erectile rings. You know, it could be a lot of things.
Well, the thing that's funny is she said penis ring.
Yeah.
And we should have been thinking C-ring, which is, you do the math on the C-word there. We're not allowed to say it. But traditionally known as a C-ring, which could be interpreted as a penis ring. But you and I both thought about the Prince Albert.
Right.
And we probably shouldn't.
She brought up jewelry. She even said herself she thought it was.
Oh, because I was wondering. I was thinking, why did I go there? I should have thought
C-ring. I'm picturing
C-ring.
An earring myself.
Yeah, see, we all go towards the piercing.
She didn't do a good job of explaining it.
Right, but what she's talking about is a C-ring.
Right.
Which,
right. And you had this discussion with your doctor.
Yeah.
And you were just talking to your physician about making things more pleasurable for your husband.
Yeah.
And he said, why don't you bust out the C-ring?
No, he was mentioning different things.
What was your husband complaining about?
He wasn't complaining about anything. I just wanted to please him more.
I mean, this is just your regular internist physician, your general physician?
No, he was a gynecologist.
Mm. Okay. And this a male gynecologist?
Uh-huh.
Listen, Kelly, guys are happy in a pretty narrow range. They're not like women. They don't need a lot of change. If you ask him if there's anything more that would work for him, he will tell you. But if usually most relationships, guys sort of get it into a zone where they're right where they want it.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're not going to be doing better than that unless he is starting to complain about something.
No, he's not complaining.
All right, then you're not going to do better. You're only going to screw it up.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Would you agree, Adam?
Yeah. Kathy sounds like she's 55
going on 12.
And 15 simultaneously.
Yeah.
Well, that ring is actually for the female because it keeps the guy hard longer. Isn't that the whole point of it?
Yeah.
So it's more for the woman than it is for the man.
Yeah. And it's,
yeah. And then there's always the controversy about do you thread the nuts through it?
Yeah.
Oh,
goodness.
Did. I say no.
No, there's some guys that do that.
I want to meet those guys and shake their hand. Hey, so, Kathy, I didn't want to get into you. What's up, though? Something's up with you. You sound like you're 55 and 15 simultaneously. Anyone ever told you?
15?
There you go. See? She made my point. All right, baby. Okay.
Good. All right, thanks.
Good.
All righty. Yeah, it's hard to tell if I'm always picturing people watching television while they're talking to me, because that's...
That's what you do?
That's what I sound like when I'm watching TV.
Like the distracted kind of?
Yeah, you're beat late.
Yeah.
Your thought doesn't really track, and you don't, and you have sort of, you're sort of flat emotionally.
And there's a lot of, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it sounds like Drew when he's talking to his wife when we're driving in the back of a town car somewhere. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Rightio. Okay. Okay. And then there's a beat, and then she restarts, and he goes, I don't know. I think you'll have to pick him up. Okay. All right, then. Good enough. Fair enough. Rightio. Fair enough. Rightio. Fair enough. Okay. Okay, then. Okay.
Be fair.
All right. All right. Anyway. And then there's a beat, and then he comes back. I guess pot roast. Pot roast be good. Well, whatever. Well, okay, then. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. See you then. See you then. See you then. And then there's a long beat again, and he says, I don't know. Explore, the expedition, it's all. They're both Fords. Whichever one turns you on. Okay, then. All right.
Expedition,
then.
Definitely right expedition with a DVD.
Right, be fair here.
There you go. There you go.
You don't know what I'm talking to my wife or to my patients.
I that's it's true. That's true. See you then. See you then. See you then. That's how it goes. You always know. By the way, you know someone wants to get off the phone when they announce the date they're going to see you and then say that's when they'll see you. Like if you're talking to someone and they go, so Wednesday, right? Wednesday noon? Wednesday noon. Sounds good. Then I'll see you then. I'll see you Wednesday. We're on for Wednesday. See you at noon on Wednesday. That means, yes, that's when we will talk next. Not now. But, no. Drew doesn't have that relationship with his patients or his wife. What about your parents, Drew?
Way worse.
Really? Sid?
Hey.
Hey, you're 21.
Yeah. Oh, you guys rock, man. I've been listening to you forever and all that stuff.
Great.
Anderson, I want your job.
Yeah.
You rock.
All right.
And my question is, Drew, I had surgery for gynecomastia.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet.
Good times.
You know what that is, Tia?
No.
She has it.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's breast enlargement, abnormal breast enlargement from Min-Man.
Oh, wow.
Turn on or turn off? For you, Tia, as a woman, when a man has breasts.
You have to be sensitive to his needs. He just announced that he had to go under surgery for this. Right.
Were you smoking pot at the time?
Oh, yeah, I was.
Pot does that to you.
Wow.
Yeah. They told me that it would do that.
It's all genetics, though.
I've been working out a little bit more lately, and I'm just wondering if there's a chance that that might grow back.
If you start taking anabolic steroids...
No, not taking any steroids. No.
You can get the man breast if you take the anabolic steroids?
Yeah, a certain amount of the testosterone gets converted to estrogen. Yep.
Really?
Because so much excess testosterone flying around.
But you would almost think it was the opposite.
No, but it's excess testosterone gets over you, so you get estrogen and testosterone. You get a lot more testosterone.
But you build more muscle.
Lots more.
So you build, and if you're working on building your pecs, chest up,
but you get
steroids would aid in that, so you get both?
Yeah.
Interesting. But how come all the guys that are on the juice don't seem to get that?
They take Novadex also. They know about it, so they take estrogen blocking agents.
That's all Sid has to do.
He's not taking steroids.
Well, I know when he takes steroids, I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The guys that take steroids take, what, Novadex, did you say?
Yeah, tamoxifen. They used to hit me up for that all the time in the gym.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I would get all kinds of weird requests for stuff, yeah.
Interesting.
It's a lot more complicated being a guy than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have a lot more stuff to worry about. I thought we had it bad with the plumbing inside.
No.
It just gets worse for us, though, see?
Goodness.
You just take it all out and forget about it. For us, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah, we're falling apart. Sid?
Yeah.
All right, so how'd the surgery go?
Oh, it went good.
Worked out?
Yeah, it's a good-looking, regular-looking chest now.
Really? All right, so and how much was it?
I just got the bill. It was about $8,500. Yeah, my copay is like about $1,500. So.
Wow. But listen, anything better than man boobs,
anything
right?
Better than man boobs. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, your
about.
Buddy's making fun of you and all that stuff, right?
Scar's
going to be okay? I mean, as a guy, you just grow hair over your scar.
You obviously went to plastic surgeon.
Well, I mean, is there any chance of it coming back, though? Because I'm feeling it now.
Yeah, it can come back. Are you overweight?
No, not at all.
What did the surgeon say about it coming back?
I didn't ask him about that.
Did you have a hormone evaluation?
I've been saving up this question for a while.
It's not likely to come back, but I would have hoped they would have done sort of an endocrinologic. Are you still smoking pot?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
No, please, Drew. I know 1,000 guys who smoke weed. None of them have man boobs. Mm. Oh, hold on a second. Drew, don't make me make you wrong on radio. As you
no, not care. Everyone that smokes pot gets man boobs. No,
not,
some of them
not 0.1%.
It depends. Not in an adult, but in 13 to 15 year olds, it can be. It can be.
If smoke a hay bale every day, it might make some very small difference. But this is all genetics. You would have got man boobs anyway, Sid.
Bonesy.
Don't blame it on the weed, brother. Blame your parents. Blame my parents.
We've
woven in. All right, buddy.
Good time.
All right, you'll be fine. I don't know. Should you have this thing at 21 or should you wait till 24?
No, 21.
That's good?
Yeah, yeah.
But not 17?
17's fine, too.
But not 15?
Not 15.
Why 17, then?
Because that all
you're into puberty?
That stopped, yeah.
Yeah, guys, I mean, here's the thing with these man boobs. This would be devastating to most guys to have that sort of, you know, have your chest come to a
anything
point.
Anything out of the ordinary during your teen years is devastating.
But
right?
this is not a
nappy hair is devastating.
Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
You feel
especially
me?
Especially when trying to feather it back. Trying to look like Bobby Sherman.
Oh, yeah.
1974. Got that nappy Brillo head. Mm-hmm. No, I know all about that. But what I'm saying is this is at least something males don't possess. Women possess.
Right.
I mean, this has an extra...
Weird, yeah.
Extra goosing of pain into this one. Yeah, I mean, guys with boobs. You think guys aren't going to jump on that, make fun of that?
If only they could do a whole trade-off, and women that want breasts can then take on the man breasts, and then they could split the cost, and it'd be $4,000 apiece.
They'd just transplant them.
Transplant. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Trying to find a good point.
Genius.
It's genius.
Oh, and then the women...
The chicks that want boobs, and take them from the men that have boobs that don't want them.
And what about the women that want a breast reduction?
That's what I'm saying. I was just thinking, there's a lot more... excess female breast tissue around than there is male.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So much for that.
That upsets Adam.
Could have made $1 million.
Upsets Adam to think about that, though.
Tia Carrera is our guest tonight. She is...
They're genius ideas.
At least those ones going for the reduction would find a good place for their... good home.
Right.
For the breast tissue. Yeah.
Okay, quiet. She's on the cover of Playboy as we speak. Is it out on newsstands?
I think it is imminently.
So not yet.
This week.
Okay. So it is January's edition.
There are people outside with it, so maybe today.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are connected. That's why. Yeah. All right. I'm going to get into those guys with my car out there all alone with them. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tia Carrera is our guest tonight. She is on the cover of the current Playboy and also in the current Playboy. And I was just thinking, well, of course you're in the current Playboy, but sometimes, once in a while, they'd have somebody on the cover that was not in a pictorial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm.
Not recently, I don't think.
No.
Maybe in the 70s.
It's been a while. I guess people would get too outraged by that.
It's like false advertising.
Yeah, like once in a while, I don't know, someone like Dolly Parton was on the cover, I think, in 1979 or 81 or something. And I remember going, oh, man, I'm going to get a look at those cans. And then opening it and going, this is an outrage. And I remember calling my senator.
Did you write a letter?
I wrote a letter. I remember it was a P. And I can't write a letter. I can just get outraged.
You sent letters, the big F or P.
Yeah, I send my letters one letter at a time. Yeah. So I started with the F, and then three working days later, they got the message. All right. So Tia's here, and the cover, like I said, it's very, very nice.
It's like
Tia's,
a vacation in Hawaii.
Tia's a nice mix. We always talk about how the mutts make for the best looking dogs, right?
The mud people, as they like to call us.
Yeah, you're. What do you got? You got some Filipino in you?
Filipino, Spanish, and Chinese, born and raised in Hawaii, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Usually you need a little honky sprinkled in to make you hot.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm working on that. My fiancé's English, so
Oh, really?
Maybe the next generation has a good chance.
Yeah, you're going to have some hot kids. I mean, usually you need just a dash of honky in there to make you hot, you know, but this all worked out. I checked the blood, though. You probably got a little, you got a little something in. Got to be a little honky in there somewhere.
Sometimes North American Indian can, you know, substitute.
Yeah, that can work for you. Yeah. It can go south, too, though. Ooh. But it works out like one out of 50 times. Yeah. Kelly?
Yeah.
None of you. Kelly, you're 25.
I am.
What's up?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Tia.
Hello.
I want your guys', everybody's opinion. I've been racking my head for the past 3 weeks over this. I just can't get it. Let me explain it to you.
All right.
I met this, I don't know what to call him, a man. He's in his 30s.
A person.
2 years ago. A person, yeah. Thank you. 2 years ago.
Human.
At my place of work, and we had one date that night. Since then, we've kept in contact over the phone. Not every day, not even month to month, just, you know, here and there.
This was at work. You met him at work.
I met him at work.
What kind of work were you doing?
My place of work. I was doing hair and makeup at the time.
And what was he doing?
And he was traveling around. He was.
No, what kind of work was he doing?
Computer. Somewhat involved with computers.
So was he setting up the computer for the business?
Not for my business. He was vacationing at the hotel with his mother passing through.
I see.
On his way to another family wedding.
He wasn't working with you. He was somebody
that came
to your place of employment. You understand why we're trying to...
You're saying you met him at work.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. He came through.
All right. He was a client.
I worked at a resort, so he was a...
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so...
And now let me get... Okay.
You understand why if he says, she said it was a co-worker at a hair salon, you know where my brain's going, right?
Oh, gay? No, he's not gay. Yeah. Right. No, he was a client.
Okay, so you met him, he passed through, and you've been keeping him one date.
And we had one kiss.
And one kiss, and nothing more.
Nothing more.
And you've been keeping in contact with him.
We've been keeping in contact, and about 2.5 weeks ago he called. We've been trying to get together, and we've spoken about who we're dating and how lame they are and how much, you know, we need to get together. We need to make it a point to get together, but he lives in San Francisco. I live in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, all right. We're getting bored.
So, hey, just wait. It gets better. So, finally, he's...
Hold on a second. My prediction about Kelly. Cute chick. Kind of cute. Little dolled up cute, but attractive woman.
Standard. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. I should have known who I'm dealing with.
You're attractive woman, yes? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, so I meet him at the Standard, and we have a couple drinks, and we really hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
Although he asked me to come up and see his big screen in his hotel room, but I did not.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bigger big screen in my house.
That's right.
You're talking about big screens.
Right.
So I went ahead and went home. By the end of that week, he'd invited me up to San Francisco. I went. I went with my guard down. I've been single for 1 year, and I have not wanted to get into any type of relationship because I'm just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, and before you knock in with any of your comments, no, I've not been abused by my dad.
No. Kelly, we're not even going that way.
I don't get any of that from you. Yeah. I just get a cute chick who doesn't get told to hurry up or shut up enough.
Yeah, right. Here's the deal. Just forget the story now. We had enough story. Ask the question. Just go. No. Stop. Go directly to the question.
All right.
We'll ask you what we need filled in. The question is.
In two sentences. He's been very distant to me since my time in San Francisco with him. We had a great time. We went running on the Bay Bridge.
Stop.
What?
Stop.
Oh, Drew, let her go.
It will never stop.
Well, let me tell you something. Hold on. Running on the Bay Bridge is very important information when it comes to answering this question.
Oh, God.
I want to know what bridge they were running on. Honey, did you say Bay or Golden Gate?
Golden Gate.
Oh, well, that's different.
Oh, see?
I
thought you said Bay Bridge. Go ahead,
she
baby.
She did say Bay Bridge. That sounds like a different path altogether.
Keep going.
So, don't listen to Drew. Shut Drew's mic. Did you spend the night there?
So I spent the night there.
And you had a little sort of sexual contact?
The first night...
All right, here's the story. Yeah, just say you blew him. Come on.
The first night we had sushi and he kind of tried to attack me at 3 a.m. in his bed and I had no part of it. The next day we watched football all day. We slept until 2 2 in the afternoon.
Just do it!
So listen to me. So then I blew him on the couch. I would never do this, but I just thought, you know what? I'm an adult. I want to do this.
I'm an
and
adult.
Since I did that, he's been completely distant.
While he was watching football, you gave him a PJ?
While he was watching football.
No.
Football is off. There was a movie on. We switched the channel.
Yeah.
It's a thumb on the ways.
And then we ended up in the shower.
Uh-huh.
And I felt very comfortable with him. I really liked him. And to top it off, when I first got there, he sat down and we talked about relationships and family. And I just thought, God, this guy's kind of too good to be real.
Right.
Well,
and how long?
I guess it was.
How long ago was this?
This was on the 11th of November.
All right. Well, here's the reality. You're one of many, many, many girls he's dating. That's it, period.
Okay. He told me that, but.
All right. Well, there you go.
Oh, he told you that.
No, but he's been dating, I've been dating, but nobody that we were really interested in.
Kelly.
Right, you're one of the ones Kelly's not really interested in.
I'm going to fix you up in 1 second here, but you got to shut your mind off for just a second.
Okay.
All right?
And listen.
You shut down, baby?
Shut down.
And listen.
Just be quiet and listen to me. You have a repeated story with men, which is, these are guys, they seem like good guys, you seem like you can trust them, and then they turn out to be a-holes and users.
Uh-huh.
This goes on time and time again with you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just found another guy
right. Who's
this way.
This kind of surprised you. It didn't look like it on the surface, but magically you found another.
Right. So it really shouldn't be that come as that big a surprise to you that this has happened. Okay?
Yeah,
now,
you're right.
Yes. Okay, good. See, just relax a little.
Yeah.
It's fine. So this is what's happened, and it's because you're attracted to these kinds of guys, even if it's not on a conscious level.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing your dad may have sold used cars or something for a living, or screwed around on your mom.
Left when she was 12.
Don't even go there. Just stay on the present. Come on.
Well, but it's why you have these attractions.
No, my parents are deceased, okay?
And when did your dad check out? How old were you?
Before my second birthday.
All right. So, you know, you're going for unavailable men.
Right.
And so here's what you learn. If you're attracted to the guy, you got to be careful.
There you go.
Attraction for you is going to be a treacherous thing.
You've got to find
guys that are boring, believe it or not.
Yeah, but listen.
That's the way it is.
The noise in Kelly's head is so loud that she's a good 10 years off of doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you going to do? I mean, listen, here's the deal. If you wanted to cure someone like Kelly, you would need a tranquilizer gun and an intervention.
Not necessarily.
She'd
go to therapy for a couple of years. And
I was going to say therapy. Therapy.
She's going to go to therapy and argue with a therapist.
So you could hear yourself
years.
Talk.
If she didn't open to the process, no.
All right.
No.
Kelly, how about some therapy? You there?
All right. Therapy.
All right, baby. You'll be fine. You're
25.
You're attractive. You don't have to worry about it.
What do you think? You agree?
I definitely think you should hear yourself talking because I think you'll hear the truth. You'll hear the truth in your voice when you lay on the therapist's couch and you'll hear the patterns, and she'll repeat things to you that you've said to her previously, and then you'll be, oh my gosh, I see a pattern here.
Yeah, and.
But if you keep talking and going and going after the next guy that's going to save you, or the next guy that's going to take you away from your, you know, current situation, then you're never going to learn the lesson along the way.
All right, and I completely agree with Tia. And furthermore, I agree with Drew. If you're attracted to a guy, don't trust that guy. But it's a catch-22. But it's something you got to listen to, Amber.
I'm not saying that everyone with attraction should be necessarily distrustful of their attractions, but anybody with a traumatic or abandoning history should be very distrustful of their attractions.
Amber?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah, okay. I just want to say I love you, Adam. Dr. Drew, I think you're really cool and smart. And Tia, you're super cool, too.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Anyway, my name's Amber. I'm 20. And, God, this is so embarrassing. Okay, I've been with my boyfriend, his name's Keith, for about a year now. I really love him, you know. And I guess I recently figured out that I'd do anything for him. But he's my first real boyfriend, I guess. I lost my virginity to him and everything. And I don't know, he kept hinting to me off and on for a while that he really wanted to have anal sex. So, you know, I don't know. One night
this is, by the way, how she discovered she's willing to do anything for her boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I'm slightly on the bogus bandwagon.
No.
Slightly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, just listen. It gets really weird. One night we got a little drunk together, I guess, and, you know, started going at it, you know, the regular way, though.
You and Keith?
Huh?
You and Keith?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yes. Yeah. She had to work his name in.
Oh.
By the way, his name is Keith.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Keep going.
All right.
Okay. But he kept, you know, trying to stick it in my butt, I guess. And after a while, I was trying to ignore it.
Put him on the phone.
Hand him the phone.
Hand him the phone.
He's not here.
Hand it to him. I'll hang up on you if you don't hand it to him.
He's really not
Three
here.
3 seconds.
Who is there?
It's just me.
Hand it to the guys in the room. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Here it is.
I'm not bogus. Like, just hear my story. Come on.
Hand the phone to the guys in the room. Hand it to them.
Really, I'm just in the room. Like, I really have a problem. I really need to know. Will you just...
Let us finish the...
I can't have an orgasm unless something is in my ass.
All right.
That's not her.
Hurry.
All right, go.
Okay. Anyway, so, like, he was trying to do it or whatever, and I was just like, you know, whatever. So he talked me into it, kind of, but I didn't know what to do, and I was like, should we use lube or whatever? Like, it's going to hurt really bad if you don't, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, so he put on a condom or whatever and, like, tried to work it in, and it hurt at first, you know, whatever, but he, you know, we were doing it slow or whatever, and it worked out, and... Okay, so it took him just a couple of minutes. I guess he was really into it or whatever. But he took it out or whatever, and just so embarrassing, farted and, like, diarrhea, I guess, came out all over him, kind of, and me. Not a lot, but just a little bit.
This is so bogus.
It can happen.
All right.
I'm serious. Like, it was so gross. I, like, was mortified. Right. Ran to the bathroom, took a shower. He left or whatever. And I'm just wondering, like, if that...
He left?
Happened.
He left? That's the worst part of the story.
He didn't leave.
It was really terrible. And I was just, you know, I'm wondering if that happens to a lot of people or if there's something... Because I wasn't sick or anything, like,
so
before.
So bogus.
And,
so
no,
bogus.
Really.
No, listen, what do you mean? Your boyfriend just left? He's begging you to nail you in the ass?
Yeah, but then I...
You go to the shower and he just splits?
Well, no, like, I, you know, on his thing, and it was totally embarrassing. I'm sure he was... I mean, he called me later on. He was just really weirded out.
No, that's backtracking now. Don't buy it. It's bogus.
It's really not.
Listen, I'll see you in hell. I want you to swear to Christ Almighty that this is a real call. And if not, may he strike you down dead.
I swear to God and Christ Almighty.
And if not, he will strike you down dead?
And if it's not, he will strike me down dead. I'm telling you the truth.
Still don't believe it. I think we got an atheist on our hands.
I'm not an atheist.
Be that as it may, why does that surprise you?
Why are you calling us? What do you want to know?
I want to know if there's, like, something... wrong with, like, does that happen?
Yes, you have irritable bowel syndrome and colon cancer.
That you disrupt the function of a sphincter and something comes out. Why is that?
This
surprising?
Is really, this is your question?
Well, no, like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, I'm not going to pull my butthole the size of a mason jar thing or anything, but.
Yeah.
You would have, man,
no,
that's so tough.
This is so, Amber, just say it's bogus so we can get out of here, please.
Yeah, here we go.
That's done. Right. She's done. All right. What'd she do? Hang up?
People call you
Amber,
a
did you
star?
Hang up? All right, listen.
She got it in. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Okay.
That gallstrike dead.
When did I say, what point
right
of this call did I say bogus?
Right in the beginning.
All right.
This happens to you a lot.
No, we can tell when it's bogus.
Just know when it's bogus.
That one she was able to kind of keep it alive.
She's full of crap.
So to speak.
Yeah.
All right. Tia Carrera's here.
On that note.
And by
note,
the way, listen, Amber, you deserve to die, by the way. I hope you get hit with a bolt of lightning or a tree smashes you. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
You can't F around with this stuff. Little bitch with I swear to Christ, may swipe me dead and all that kind of stuff. Bitch. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tia Carrera is our guest tonight.
Aloha.
You drive a Carrera?
No, I don't.
I haven't been asked that before.
Not unless they give one to me for free for doing a commercial or something.
Suppose I could drive a Corolla, but... Yeah, we have more chance.
That's another place your family left you a little short with the name.
Yeah. I don't know. It's spelled differently, but not on any of the headshots we have here, by the way. Spelled wrong. Tia is on the cover of the current Playboy, which, if it's not out yet, it should be out very shortly. Yes?
Like in the next few minutes, I think.
Right.
Hitting a newsstand near you.
Yeah, so look for that. And unlike Dolly Parton, she will be naked inside. But it's tasteful.
The full Monty.
It's tasteful.
Yeah, he's a great photographer, Philip Dixon. Art house photographer, so they're very beautiful photographs.
So you were Nani and Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, which is an interesting dichotomy. Disney cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, Playboy.
Say goodbye to that.
Yeah. Disney's over.
I'm currently doing part two, as a matter of fact.
Where in Hawaii were you raised?
Honolulu. Mm. Kalihi, to be exact.
Yeah, you get a lot of mahalo. Oh, you could explain mahalo to us.
Mahalo is thank you.
Right. Well, we usually say that, but usually they use it liberally, it seems, yeah. Like even more than thank you.
It's sort of goodbye and thank you, or farewell and thank you.
Well, I guess, but you can use...
Bless you and thank you.
But you can use thank you that way here. Like, I mean, if you're up on stage and you say, hey, it's been great with you guys tonight, thank you, you walk off the stage and say thank you and goodbye.
Mm.
Although they do say...
thank you and mahalo.
They do say thank you and mahalo, which sounds kind of redundant to me.
The airlines do that.
Who says that?
The airlines do that.
They got it all wrong.
The flight attendants always
do
that.
Yeah, thank you and mahalo.
It's like thank you and thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
I should study.
Let's have a question for Tia.
Oh.
Jeff?
Yes.
You're 28?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I just wanted to ask Tia what it was like working with Brandon Lee in Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Oh, wow. He was a wonderful human being. He was kind. He was he was just a really cool, cool guy, and it was a terrible tragedy what happened to him. It's crazy. It's crazy. He was such a wonderful guy.
Now, that was on, I think that was on cable just the other night, by the way.
Which?
Showdown in Little Tokyo. I think I came across that a couple nights ago, but...
When I was still shy about using my body and had a body double.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
For the hot tub scene.
I want my semen back.
Oh, goodness.
I gotta get that.
Yeah, but Brandon, he was a real sweetheart. I really liked him a lot.
Now, that was how long before his death? How many years?
I don't know. What was that? Less than a year.
Before the tragedy?
Before, he was shot on that film, the Crow film. I was actually down at the hotel that he and his girlfriend were going to be getting married at the following weekend.
Oh, boy.
And then we heard about that, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I was working on a movie at that hotel that they were going to be getting married at the following weekend.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know the story, son of Bruce Lee and a big rising star, and doing a film, I think it was in Canada and non-union.
No, North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. But whatever it was like a non-union thing with as far as the guys who were handling the guns and stuff. And there was like a slug that was caught in the barrel of one of the guns.
Yeah, like the wad was still in the...
That was just supposed to have the blanks in it. And there's a scene where he got shot and it really did kill him. And it was a freakish thing because it wasn't even a bullet that was in the chamber. It was like something was stuck in the gun, and the
crazy
propellant from the
blank
ended up forcing this projectile into his chest, and he just, I don't know, pretty much died on the spot or a couple hours later in the hospital. Yeah, he must have been 27, 26.
Yeah, he was young.
I mean, he was young.
Really good-looking guy, nice guy. Crazy.
Yeah. And they went on and finished a movie.
The Crow they shot with body double stunt.
Same
double.
One that did the hot tub work with you. I heard. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not.
I was waiting for that one.
But yeah, and it was really turned out to be his biggest movie and his best movie besides Showdown in Little Tokyo. And he, you know, and the movie was sort of eerie. He was playing a guy who was sort of
dead. Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone gets in, and then they get into that Bruce Lee stuff.
Right, and the curse and everything.
The curse of the Lees, and,
The sister's still alive, though.
Jeff?
Yes?
But she travels around in the Pope Mobile. Jeff?
Yes.
All right, good times there, buddy, right?
All right, man, you guys are great. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
And by the way, Jeff's question when it asked Tia what it was like working with Brandon Lee. What'd you expect? A-hole, prima donna, came on to me a few times, finally had to get a restraining order. Glad he's gone. I mean, what?
I'm just glad that the question for me was not a heavy-duty sex question, that's all.
No.
That's coming in the next hour.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. All right. So who are we going to talk to when we come back, Drew? We'll talk to, Robert. Robert's the first guy I talked to tonight. Robert?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Hey, Tia. Hey, Dr. Drew Adam.
Hi.
How are you doing, buddy? Hey, buddy, we got to hang you on for one more moment here, but then you're first up when we come back, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Tia Carrera, our guest tonight on the cover of the current Playboy. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tia Carrera is in the studio tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tia is currently on the January edition cover of Playboy and also within the body of the magazine, of course, and that will hit newsstands soon, very soon.
Today, tomorrow.
Is it that soon?
Tomorrow night. Yeah.
Immediately.
It's a January cover, but it comes out December 2nd or 3rd or something.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah. It's always like that about Playboy.
But you have one.
Yeah, I got one.
You're special.
That's me, baby. And maybe you'll sign it for me. I'll sell it on eBay. Robert?
Yeah.
So you're 19.
Okay.
And the question is?
Okay, about 2 weeks ago, I got with this chick, and we were just over at her place, and we made out for probably, I don't know, half an hour. Then she started to go down on me, and she probably gave me head for 10, 15 minutes. It was quite amazing.
Yeah, sure.
Swallowed it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's nice.
She came back up, and when she was doing it, like, I was fully, like, spread out and everything. And after she finished...
You weren't in the fetal position? Like,
no.
I usually... That's my position.
That's your
I tuck
position?
My penis between my legs, and I got to get from the backside.
That's the finish?
No, that's how they start. I do the entire thing from the fetal position.
Yeah. Right. Robert, did you meet this girl at a resort, a hair salon?
I've known her for quite a while, actually, but...
All right.
And then, like, after she finished, like, you know when you hit your funny bone and your whole arm goes numb?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, my whole body went numb. It's like, I don't know, something...
How long did that last for?
Oh, half an hour, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You were tingly for half an hour, or you couldn't move for half an hour?
I couldn't even get up. And I was tingling the whole time. I waited till the tingling sensation, like it went away in my hands and my feet, then it slowly went away throughout my body.
Maybe she was sucking an Altoid.
Actually, did you have any visual disturbances when that happened? Did the room go dark or
blurry? A little blurry.
It's actually a concern, Robert. That's a genuine neurologic symptom. And there's a.
Weren't hit with the butt of her father's shotgun or anything like that?
No.
You weren't doing drugs or anything or drinking?
Never done drugs, and not that night.
Did she notice anything in terms of your face? Was your face asymmetrical, or were you able to move certain parts of your body?
Talking about like a seizure?
Yeah. She said I was shaking a lot when she was doing it because I was like constantly like tensing my muscles and untensing them, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
Is this, have you had many orgasms via oral sex?
Not too many. Like,
were you working a little bit?
But if he was hyperventilating, it shouldn't last for half an hour.
No, it wasn't really hyperventilating. Well,
half an hour is a serious symptom.
Yeah.
And that, there's something in the basal artery that feeds the motor. Right where the motor information crosses, and if there's an aneurysm there or something, boom, the whole motor function goes out.
Yeah, but why would this trigger that?
Just the blood pressure goes up, or the intensity of the stimulation.
Do you work out, Robert?
Yeah, every couple times a week.
You ever have this happen when you're working out?
Actually, I used to live in Phoenix, and I was working out one night, and I did kind of go, not necessarily numb, but my vision went a little blurry.
You got to get this checked out, Robert. Seriously, it sounds like it might be an aneurysm. Do you have any family history of anything? Any medical problems?
Just asthma. Mild case of asthma.
No kidney disease or anything?
No.
Skin problems?
Mm. All right, was it really a half hour you were incapacitated?
It was a good half hour.
What about taking a leak? What'd you do, wet yourself?
No.
How'd you get food?
I ate on the way home, actually, after that.
Yeah. And how were you able to watch SportsCenter, or you just laid there?
I just laid there.
And she didn't freak out, like, what's up?
She laid there and held on to me. I was like, this is unbelievable. I, like, complimented her a little bit, but...
Sure. She paralyzed you.
You weren't disoriented or anything?
No.
You gotta get this checked
out. Just enough strength to pick up the phone and tell his buddies he just got a hell of a BJ. Yeah.
Well, that was what the disappointment was.
That was a pot laugh,
yeah,
Robert.
You got a lot of pot going, Robert?
What?
You smoke a lot of pot?
Never. Never smoked pot before. No, serious, guys.
All right. So, Robert, you got to go. What kind of doctor should he go to, Drew?
Start with a regular doctor, but you probably need to see a neurologist. It's important.
Yeah?
These things can blow and be a disaster, and they can be prevented.
Who's blowing?
They can be explode.
Explode?
Bleed.
Boy.
They can bleed.
Really? Because you're saying the aneurysm.
Yeah.
Aneurysm is like when you get a bulge in the side of your car tire.
Right.
It starts ballooning out, and eventually... So is it like a weakening in an artery,
right,
and it starts to bulge?
Yes.
And there's blood bulging there?
Yes.
And you wouldn't really know it.
You wouldn't know unless it pushes on something.
Right. But then if it pops, it's like driving on that tire that's got the bulge on it. If you're going down the freeway at 80 and it blows...
Well, the problem with the blow, then you have blood that goes throughout the brain and squishes your brain, basically.
Oh, is that what happens?
The pressure of the blood just...
But it doesn't only have to be in your brain. It can be in other parts of your body, these aneurysms.
Yeah, but aneurysms elsewhere tend to cause by aging and cholesterol breakdown in the lining of the arteries, that kind of thing. So you can get aneurysm of the aorta and the abdomen,
right,
and thoracic aorta.
But I'm a physician myself. I went to North Hollywood High.
Yeah, of course. I drove around North Hollywood today. I just took it in.
Did you?
Yeah. What were we doing
in North Hollywood?
I had a meeting with somebody over there, and I was looking at the hills. You said that's still North Hollywood up over by Ventura Boulevard?
No, that's Studio City.
But you always described, that's what I thought, you described there were people from your high school that lived in the hills.
Those were the Jews.
But were they living in Studio City?
Yeah, there were a handful that lived up there.
And they went to your high school?
Yeah. You're thinking, why would those kids go to North Hollywood High?
Right.
Because it probably wasn't as bad as it was, or as it is now.
I see.
And that was their nearest school, and Jews. They didn't want to pay for the, no. They just coasted down the hill and went to the school. It was all right. They did fine. They all went to college. The rest of us started cleaning carpets. Jeff?
Yes?
They used to call it Hebrew Heights up there, by the way.
What? Me?
It's beautiful up there.
It's nice, yeah. Jeff, yeah, but that's not North Hollywood, Drew.
Well, that's what I was.
One day I'll show you my North Hollywood.
No, I knew Magnolia and Lancashire, that whole area.
You get out there, yeah. Jeff, what's up?
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, Groovy.
Groovy, you're 17.
Yeah. I was wondering, is it normal? Oh, first of all, you guys are great. Tia, gotta give you mad props for keeping it natural.
Thank you.
Very cool. And last night, you were right, we do need to bring back the seashells.
Yeah, the giant clams.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Kid, listen.
Tell Tia she'd appreciate this. She's from Hawaii.
Well, I'm saying growing up, there was extensive use of shells. Like everyone had an abalone shell on their coffee tables and ashtray.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then they also had the clam shells.
The giant clam.
Well, they had the giant clam, but then they had the ashtray clam shell.
But that was a baby giant clam. That was.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And that was serrated, what's the
scalloped
word? Scalloped kind. It was like perfect. It's like nature's ashtray.
Who had one of these?
Everybody.
As an ashtray. Yeah. Okay.
And then it was worked into architecture, too. There'd be lights that were behind and like theaters that were behind those shells.
I had a bikini that was two clamshells.
You mentioned that.
I had one that was one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And a string in the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, someone had to hold it off. I tried to double stick Dave, and it was fine until I got out of the water, and it didn't hold. But there was a lot of movies where guys would be diving, and they get their foot caught in that giant clam.
Ah.
The clam would pinch down on their foot, and their oxygen would be running out, and the thing would be holding on to them.
Like a sexual thing?
No. Oh, Adam and I grew up believing that we had about a... We're either going to die
50-50 chance.
Yeah, quicksand or a giant clam was going to grab us. Those are the two things that the young male would die of. That's right.
And
adventuresome young male.
Just saying.
And then you met your first woman, and you thought, I could die this way.
the giant clam. Wow.
Well, that's good.
The giant clam is gone from television and movies.
It doesn't exist. It's like we were preoccupied with it. Now it just...
That was something. It was kind of cool.
Now you have nudity in films. What do you need the giant clam for?
Giant clam shells the size of a trash can lid. Or maybe bigger. Hawaii. It was probably had giant clams in your high school and stuff, right? Guy taught phys ed and stuff.
I don't know. They used them all. The small ones were all used for bikinis, so I don't think they ever grew to giant size.
Jeff?
Yes?
But thanks for bringing that up. But what's the question?
I do all my own piercing. I got a bunch of them. And I wonder if that's natural.
If it's natural?
Doing your own piercing.
You're not born with...
Whatever.
And normal?
No.
Trip. Listening to myself on the radio, too.
No. All right. True. What kind of piercings do you have?
I got both my nipples pierced. I got my ears pierced, like, from end to end. Like, pretty much my whole face. Prince Albert.
Mm-hmm.
You did that all yourself.
Bored. Yeah. Exactly. Bored and just... I enjoy them.
And you did the... Prince Albert yourself on you.
I used to live with a professional piercer.
Oh, did they train you to do it?
No, he just told me how to do it.
See, to me, doing the Prince Albert on myself would be like me trying to kill myself by holding my breath.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point...
You breathe.
Reflex would just kick in. And if I was starting to put a pin through my penis or a spear through my penis, at a certain point, I'd drop it and start running.
Yeah.
You just have to. Like, how can you...
Running away from your penis.
Yes. Slamming the door on it, holding it, the penis banging on the other side of the door, me trying to phone the cops.
But...
Wow.
You need a high pain tolerance, actually.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, Jeff, and just the fact that you were raised by a piercer...
No, I only lived with him for, like, a month or so.
Okay. I still... It seems like there was some abuse going on with you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I always think it there.
Yeah. Well, it has to be.
Makes sense.
It has to be there. People don't do that unless there's some reason for it.
What was it?
Physical abuse.
Physical abuse?
Yeah.
I can't think of any, but as in, like, for anything else, my dad overhear me?
Watch the...
I don't want my real father overhearing.
Watch the S word there, Jeff, please.
Oh, sorry.
But what happened?
My now ex-stepdad, back when I was... He used to be the best dude of my life. I mean... If I could go to anybody, it was him.
Right. Well, get to the part where he went south.
Actually, with my sister.
Mm. He molested your sister?
Yeah, his stepdaughter. God, what was it? 7 years?
Okay, so...
Something like that.
He's a guy who most would argue was probably flawed.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I mean, even if he seemed like a decent guy to you, any guy who's diddling his daughter...
Yeah,
probably not a great guy.
He has a lot of great attributes, but that just...
Sure. But here's the thing about a lot of great attributes. They're all outweighed by effing your daughter.
I'm sure Jeffrey Dahmer had some terrific qualities.
Who?
Yeah. All right. So, listen, Jeff.
Yep.
I don't know what you're asking. I think it just seems like you want to kind of make an announcement.
No, I'm wondering if that's normal.
No.
Well, it's interesting that the guy, some of the people that do the extreme piercing, like filet o penis and that kind of thing.
He's starting to go south, so I'm putting him on hold.
You guys that split their penis in half and
done it.
Those kind of stuff.
Needed two clamshells.
These guys do this stuff on their own, a lot of these guys. They don't have it done because no one would do it to them.
Well, and it's also part of the act is doing it, is perpetrating it on yourself.
It's like self-mutilation.
It is self-mutilation.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. That's
it's like a little bit of self-loathing.
It's
maybe
like focused self-mutilation.
And you know, you don't have to be Freud to figure out that sort of attacking your genitalia, you know, your genitalia being abused at your own hands, and not what I do to my penis. That kind of discipline is fine. That's healthy. There's nothing wrong with, you know.
That's just a little boxing.
Yeah. I'd say to my penis, don't make me take my belt off. That's you gotta do the math on that one, Drew. But if you do, it's good.
You can say that, but you can't say the S word on the radio. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing to our listeners who use the S word every third call too. But Jeff has some problems.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
And you got a stepdad who's going at his daughter, and you got a mom who's
attracted to this guy.
And God knows where real dad is.
Mm-hmm.
So our advice to him is stop it.
But how does he stop?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he has to talk to somebody.
Yeah, he might need some real help because
he doesn't. He's not good.
Self-mutilation is a pretty serious symptom.
And listen, we're living in a society where people sort of say, "Hey, man, he's expressing himself. He's doing his own thing. He's not hurting anybody.
He's hurting himself.
It doesn't help.
If he's calling, asking if it's bad, if it's normal, then it's definitely a problem.
Ronnie,
yes,
you're 26.
Yes,
what's up?
First of all, I'd like to say to Miss Carrere, I love you and everything you've ever been in.
Thank you.
Everything from Showdown to Wayne's World, and I even got your DVD-ROM Daedalus.
Oh, goodness. I don't even know how to use that thing.
I had a hard time at first, but
it was one of the first ones. It was hard.
Adam, you're God. I love you to death.
Great. You have my DVD-ROM?
Yes. I wish.
What's up, Ronnie?
I'm 26 years old.
No compliments for Drew. He's got to get right to it.
I've been married for 6 years. In fact, today is my anniversary. But for the last 2 years, I've been having an affair with another woman.
Hmm. 2 years?
2 years.
All right. Someone you work with?
I'm sorry?
Someone you work with?
No. Well, no, she's an ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend's the next thing out of my mouth.
From a long time ago.
Right.
So it's not really cheating then, right, Adam?
You nailed her once already.
What's the difference?
Right.
And, you know, at first, you know, it was pretty much, okay, let's get together, let's hit it off, and, you know, let's, you know, catch up. And next thing you know, I mean, we're sleeping together almost constantly, and it's, you know, I love my wife.
Sure.
I really do.
Well, you're treating her pretty well here. This is good.
Well, what is it that your wife isn't providing, or is that the problem?
That's not a guy's question.
It isn't, but sometimes they'll say, we had a couple of kids, and she doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah. Well, me and my wife do have a child, but I mean, I really don't know. We see, you know, we sleep together, you know, regularly. You know, well, at least it used to be. But, you know, when I first met my wife, you know, she was a virgin. She, I don't know. It's just, it seems like the other woman just.
So all I'm getting is, I got married too young, I got married too young, I got married too young. That's what I hear.
True, this call isn't about you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ronnie. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
I just don't know what to do to stop the other thing. You know, it's just.
Okay, well, let me ask a couple questions.
Okay.
One is, this girl you're having a two-year affair with.
Yes.
She must be thinking of you in a serious way at a certain stage here.
Unless she's married also.
No, she's not.
No. Is she putting any pressure on you?
Yes. Yeah, kind of.
To break up, yeah.
And have you been telling her you're planning on breaking up?
Yes.
Of course.
You have.
Yes.
That's how he keeps this thing going.
And then number two, aren't you nervous about calling this radio show and announcing this?
No.
Why not?
I know I need the help. It's you know, I mean, my wife, she's actually listening. You know, I mean, she knows of the problem.
She does?
Yes.
How does she know of the problem?
It's been made to her several times by the other female.
Oh, boy.
How old is your kid, by the way?
3 years old.
Oh, I thought you had the baby, and that's why you got married.
All right, here's the deal. What do you want to do?
I just want to know, you know.
No.
Where's your wife now? Where are you now?
I'm in the bedroom. She's in the living room.
Forget this.
Hold on a second. Maybe you should get her on the phone.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do that. Ronnie.
Yes.
Let's get her to pick up the other line.
No problem. Michelle.
Wow. That's deep.
Ronnie's fairly cavalier.
Hang on. She's on her way.
All right. And let's see if we can get her folks on the line. Michelle?
Yes.
You're Ronnie's wife?
Yes.
And you realize he's calling about this affair?
Yes.
And why are you still with him if he's not stopping this affair?
I don't know. Just for some reason, I really do love him.
Mm-hmm.
and I want to try to keep things together because our son, he has autism.
Oh, no.
And it would, you know, I mean, he really, that change would really affect him because he loves me and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing everything I can. He does realize this problem.
Cool.
And he wants to get help with it.
Who?
The husband.
He wants to get help.
The autistic kid?
No.
I thought she meant the child was aware there was a problem in the marriage.
No,
not yet.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to do something about it now because, you know, we really do love each other.
Well, what's Ronnie willing to do?
As far as I know, you know, probably get counseling.
Yeah.
Why? It's been how long have you been aware of this?
I've probably been aware of it for about a year.
Why hasn't he gotten counseling sooner?
I don't know.
Has he been promising all year?
No.
When did he start promising he was going to get counseling?
I guess about probably 6 months ago.
All right, 6 months, and yet no therapist. Boy,
and
he really gets...
still seeing the other woman.
He just gets off the dime pretty quick, that Ronnie. He gets
That's
right
why
to
I
it.
Wanted to talk to you guys. He wanted to try to get help figuring out what to do.
No, you're not. Listen, that is completely ridiculous. That in calling a radio show, you're going to solve.
True. How dare you? This is a fine radio show.
A problem like that. He needs real professional help. Now, I'm not. Well,
listen. Maybe hold on. Maybe the guy Drew, Tia.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy's sexually compulsive. Maybe he needs to go to SA.
Yes, he does think that that's definitely a problem.
I know, but you understand he's feeding you this stuff so he can continue this.
Yeah,
which is, here's what I'm saying, Michelle. Sorry, Ronnie, plug your ears. But is he on the other line?
No.
Oh, you only have one phone?
You want him to be on the other line?
No.
That's fine.
Okay.
Here's the situation. If a guy who just gets busted having an affair has to stop because he got busted. But a guy who gets busted having an affair and has a wife like you probably comes from an environment where this kind of stuff goes on a little bit and then says, hey, baby, I love you, but I got a problem.
Yeah.
You got to understand. I mean, this is no different than diabetes or being hooked on heroin. It's going to be tough. He's playing this card with you. So the fact that we got to call Loveline and talk to Adam and Drew and whoever their guest is, hopefully Tia Carrera, that is just one more sort of a Lego in this crap castle he's building. Write that down, Drew.
Lego in the crap castle. Got it.
All right. This is more. I got Drew's like, Your Honor, I'm insane. I didn't know what I was doing
when I killed the person. I told you I wanted help. I called the radio station. I did what I said I'd do. I called them.
Right.
No, he needs a commitment to a therapeutic process, which is going to take a long time. And as part of that process, he has to end this relationship. If he doesn't make a commitment to this marriage, then it's all BS. It's all BS.
And Ronnie, you got to be not Ronnie, Michelle. You got to be ready to walk if he doesn't do this.
Yes.
And what's your background like? Your dad cheat on your mom?
No.
What went wrong over there?
I kind of had one bad incident with my dad.
What happened?
Where's my bourbon?
What'd he do to you?
Just, he made me do something I didn't want to do.
How old were you?
Feeling up.
Whoa.
9 years old.
9 years old.
Other than that, great guy?
Yes. It was just one incident.
Was he loaded when he did that?
Yes.
Okay, so he's an alcoholic.
He was actually doing drugs at the time.
All right, so you had to deal with a drug addict father who also sexually abused you. So him being a drug addict figures into him not being such a great dad.
And you're sort of, and your mom stayed with your dad?
Yes.
And through his drug abuse. And she stood by her man.
Yes.
Even though he continued to use.
Yes.
And now you're standing by your man who's continuing to use you. I'll write that down, Drew. That's heavy, too. All right. You understand what's going on now.
Is Ronnie a drug addict, too?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
He may be an addict. This may be his drug.
His addiction, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he would have multiple stuff. Yeah.
All right. So, Michelle.
Yes.
All right, you have to take a stand for you. This is your therapy.
Okay.
Your therapy is getting him to go to therapy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're going to need some work, too, because...
Oh, yeah.
Because of what happened to you, growing up.
Yes, I agree with
you. All right. And no more kids.
I definitely agreed on that.
But here's where we are tonight. He has to decide if he's going to commit himself to this marriage or not.
Yeah, but
he's got his cake and he's eating it too.
This is
she has to be strong for herself and for her kid. If she thinks that she's keeping this sham of a marriage together for the child will only respond to love, whether it's with her or both parents.
She should think about how her mom kept the drug addict dad around for her.
And look how it hurt her. Yeah. It's only going to hurt the child if it's a
sham. I've been doing the math on this, but the autism thing's a wild card. I don't want to be cruel, but, you know, we don't have to worry. You know what I'm saying?
For that kid?
Yeah. Kid's probably better off.
Without the dad?
No, with the
autism. Oh, being autistic, yeah.
Because otherwise, you just get all this crap dumped on you, and then you'd get an abusive relationship yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's like, it's, I don't know, Special Olympics and watch some cartoons. And I mean, I don't want to sound cruel, but I always do the math. I always think, you see, what you did.
Continuing the abuse.
What your mom did to you, you are now doing to your child. But the autism thing is kind of a wild card. Mm-hmm. It does nip it there. Mm-hmm. Still, no excuse for continuing this kind of lifestyle. Mm. So listen, Michelle knows what she has to do.
Yeah, he wants an excuse to continue messing around.
Well, maybe Ronnie's ready to do something. Mm. Let's hope so.
I hope so.
Tia Carrera in our studio tonight. Not autistic, yes?
No. Artistic.
Artistic, and you can see that expressed in the current issue of Playboy. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tia Carrera is in our studio tonight. She's on the cover of the January edition of Playboy. And Tia, God-fearing woman, has two crosses hanging around.
Goodness.
Her neck. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Classy.
Kumbaya. Catholic school, 13 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't freak out and rebel.
Of course I did. Yeah. I'm on the cover of Playboy, aren't I?
Well, I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of my father and half of my family.
Oh, yeah, really. But they got to be proud of you. I mean, you'd be back in Honolulu stringing puka shells if you didn't. Yeah, that's the main business.
Which is
business
a very noble
there.
Profession for
pineapples
puka shells.
And puka shells. What do your folks do?
Let's see. My dad's a banker, and my mom's looking for a job right
traditional
now.
Traditional Hawaiian job.
Banker. It always ruins it to me. Like, why not? He's got to manufacture ukuleles. He's got to shuck pineapples. He's got to string puka shells.
My grandmother used to, you know, heft pineapples.
Yeah.
Work in the cane fields. Wow. Backbreaking work.
Yeah.
Good, strong woman.
Yeah, that's sugar cane's tough out there.
It'll cut your ankles.
Pineapple seems a little not something you'd want to fall on either.
No. They don't do that. No more pineapples in Hawaii, though, right?
There isn't? Dole pineapple.
Moved out, right?
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm not on top of my Hawaii stuff.
Yeah.
I had to leave to get some work, so I'm not surprised that other people will have to as well.
They just grow weed there now. And what happened? You graduated high school in Hawaii, in Honolulu?
I was in Hawaii, yeah. Graduated when I was 17. I got discovered in a grocery store and got my first movie.
Really?
Which is fortunate because we couldn't afford to go to college.
My grades were only B+,
you know?
You're just in the
Grocery store.
You're in the grocery store, mm-hmm. And who discovered you?
I was standing in the checkout stand. I was standing in line, and a producer's mother and father approached me and said that their son was doing a movie in Hawaii, and that's how I got my first movie. I called the casting director or whatever, went in and read for her, had no idea what I was doing.
You were 17?
And I got my first job.
This never happens.
This
has
got
to be a bogus
lead.
Story.
Female
but
lead.
I'm not backtracking, see.
I know.
You got the lead.
I know how these guys figure out bogus stories now, so you guys better beware on the phone lines.
You got the lead in this movie?
Yeah, the female lead. And made a bunch of money and moved to L.A. I had a Screen Actors Guild card. I had no idea what a Screen Actors Guild card was.
And why could you act? I mean,
I made pretend. You just make pretend. I was brave enough and stupid enough to make pretend.
But when you were in high school, were you in plays?
No,
you
not at all.
Like that?
Always singing. My thing was singing.
Oh, really?
I used to get up and perform. Like when I was 14, I got up and sang in front of 6,000 people at the Waikiki Shell, big clam shell.
See, the shell.
The shell.
And
another use for a large shell.
They got the priority straight over there in Hawaii, though, with the shell themes. And you, What kind of songs would you sing? You sing pop songs?
Oh, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar.
Really?
I do. Journey, Open Arms.
I do Hell Is For Children by Pat Benatar, by the way.
That's a good song for this show, actually. Yeah. You should sing it every night.
So you did like being on stage. You did like being in front of people. You weren't shy.
Singing and performing, but I didn't know what I was doing acting
and
was.
Did you think
still
you,
don't.
Did you think you were going to do some modeling or do some, like...
I did a little bit of modeling in Hawaii.
Before 17.
Before the movie. Yeah, before the movie.
So there was a little groundwork laid.
Just being used to being in front of the camera.
Right. Wow. And what was this movie? Have we heard of it?
Called Aloha Summer. This innocent little movie where life was fine in 59. A bunch of guys go to Hawaii in 1959 and all their different, travails.
Anybody in this movie?
No.
Sounds familiar.
Chris Makepeace, who was in a movie called My Bodyguard, and Don Michael Paul, who subsequently became a director. I just saw he directed a big movie.
So this is it. You finish this movie in Honolulu, and then that's all. You're heading for
Hollywood.
Made some
money, had a resume, came to Hollywood, and got an agent pretty quickly.
And you basically started working ever since then, right?
Yeah, I was on a soap opera for a year and a half, and co-starring and guest starring and blah, blah, blah. And
in the A-Team, by the way.
Yes.
Let me guess this. I'm going to give you a couple storylines for your A-Team episode.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it, but you are the hot chick who seeks out the A-Team. You have to find...
No,
she's the ballistics. She's the ballistics
expert. Your brother was kidnapped.
It's a much more trite and racist storyline than that.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
So some guy comes to them looking for his son in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He had a daughter. And she wears cone-shaped hats, and she's a sniper.
You were a sniper in the A-Team.
For the Viet Cong.
And I barely spoke English, but they really liked my name, so they called her Tia.
Oh, my God.
And in the final scene of the show that was supposed to introduce me as the following year's new regular to the show, I got to wear spandex pants, I think.
Wow. And then what happened with the new regular?
Well, it's kind of tough because I was still under contract to General Hospital. So it was a bad move. Bad management.
You know what I liked? I love the A-Team, by the way. I love how they would...
George Peppard was a cool guy.
Oh, he was a delight. And a gentleman.
Why?
I was just a gentleman. So
it seemed like it to me.
He would. Mr. T wouldn't fly. You know, that was one of the storylines in the show. Like they.
Oh, okay. They have to get real life. That must make it tough.
They'd have to get B.A. Baracus, Mr. T. I think it was B.A. Baracus. They have to get him on the plane every week.
Knock him out. Somewhere. Right? You have to knock him out.
Yeah. So they'd always be this scene. That. It's like T. It'd be like B.A. We got to get on the airplane, and he'd go. Who you kidding, sucker? I'm not getting on no airplane. You know I don't fly. And then 10 seconds later, buttermilk. Give me that. Gong, gong, gong. And then pass out.
Gong, gong, gong. That's a sound for drinking. Gong, gong, gong.
Every single episode, though, you know you're getting drunk to get on the plane. Maybe you should hold off on the buttermilk. You know, or go to the vending machine and get your own soda. Like, don't drink the thing the guy hands you right then if you're getting knocked out every time. Aww. Yeah. That was a good... I thought it was true, actually.
The A-Team?
Yeah.
You thought it was documentary.
Right. They're working the L.A. Underground. They're trying to keep a low profile, but they're driving the custom van with the Caltrans orange stripe on the side of it and the raised white letters and the open headers. And, like who in that neighborhood wouldn't know the eight guys and the huge black man with all the jewelry, the chandelier hanging from his neck? Like if the cops came sniffing around, if the military police, who was always nipping at their heels, if they came around and said... Hey, you seen a guy in an orange van wearing a ton of jewelry and a mohawk? And everyone in the neighborhood would be like, oh, yeah, those dudes, I think they're gay. I don't know what they do, but they're at the end of the street. The orange van's parked out front.
Yeah.
That's the low profile. Mike?
Hello.
You're 17?
I am.
Yeah. Big A-Team fan?
What? Oh, man, never watched.
All right, bud.
Shocking.
Before his time.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys know where the word blowjob came from, because it doesn't seem to make much sense.
Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Yes.
Hawaii?
Yes, Hawaii.
It did not.
Yes.
The missionary position came from Hawaii.
That's true. Yeah.
It's just a crazy term that people came up with long ago.
Right. We don't know the origins of it.
No.
Patrick?
Yeah?
You're 14?
I am.
Big A-Team fan?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You ever heard of the A-Team?
Of course I have.
All right, buddy. What's up?
Well, Adam, first of all, I just want to say that I'm a big fan of yours. I always watch The Man Show.
Thanks.
Oh, no problem. And I have a question for Tia.
Uh-oh.
Look at the feeling he's never seen the A-Team.
Oh, don't worry. It's pretty easy.
Okay.
Tia, I was wondering, what did you think of Mike Myers and Dana Carvey when you worked with them on Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2?
Well, they were cool. They were totally cool. They were hilarious. What's funny, though, is that you don't think that they're cut. They started off kind of shy, I think, when they first started out, before they started getting their legs. They were really kind of reserved and quiet and shy. Actually, I have a piece of film on them from England, from the premiere in England, and they're both sitting there. It's like just before the cameras rolled, and they're both sitting there kind of quietly and, you know, looking from side to side, and then they said, okay, and you're on. But there was a little roll-up, so you could see their personality before, and once they said that they were rolling, and they turned on these characters, and they were, like, really outgoing and everything. But they're just, you know, shy, nice guys that, you know, have these crazy personalities.
They didn't direct that movie, right?
No, Penelope Spheeris did.
But a woman. But they, never happened again. But they must have write the movie, right?
Mike Myers did.
Mike Myers wrote it for Saturday Night Live, and then who did Wayne's World 2? Steve
Sergic.
Yeah.
Directed it. But so, yeah, I mean, basically Mike Myers, and I don't know if Dana worked on the, I think they both worked on the skit on SNL, but I think he and Mike ended up writing the script, I think.
Oh, you punks with your movies. It's amazing what you have available now.
On DVD.
Well, I mean, think about if you're 14 now, there's all these great movies. You got your video recorders and your DVDs, and then there's just tons of good movies. I mean, you got all your Wayne's Worlds, and you got
Gone with
all
the
your
Wind.
Austin. Yeah, but not just talk about stuff they want to see. You get your old Austin Powers stuff, and then if you want to dig deep, you can get in your Naked Guns and your Airplanes and the Zucker Brother movies and that kind of stuff. But you got all that stuff sort of out there. Like, I just remember growing up and people going, oh, yeah, I Love Lucy. This is great. And then you'd like, watch it, and you go, this is black and white. And that one guy, Fred's wearing his pants up under his armpits. And I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
Like it's not working for me.
Right.
Like, whereas I think, I don't know, now couldn't you watch Naked Gun and enjoy it if you were 14 and never saw it before? Would that... wouldn't be, like, outdated, would it?
I think once you'd seen sort of Wayne's World and Austin Powers, a different kind of pace and humor stuff.
But just the whole black and white part screwed me up.
Let's put it this way. I watched on cable the other day the Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah, but that was... Kentucky Fried Movie was a movie for adults.
Yeah, but
And it was real 70s humor.
It strikes the palate differently now than it did then, believe me.
All right. Kentucky Fried Movie was the first Zucker Brothers movie, by the way, that then they went into Airplane, and then they went into Naked Gun. Well, Tia Carrera's here tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Adam, Drew, Tia, all in the studio tonight. Tia's currently on the cover of the January edition of Playboy.
Just the cover.
Just the cover and inside the pages as well. Much to her father's chagrin.
Yes.
On the Big Island? The Medium Island?
No, the place where all good Hawaiians eventually end up, Las Vegas.
Wow.
And it's true.
Is that right?
It's true. There's a tremendous Hawaiian population in Las Vegas. Very bizarre.
How funny.
I don't know. Beautiful palm trees, Hawaii, Las Vegas, of course.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And what's he doing? Is he retired over there?
No, he works in a bank there.
Banker.
Wells Fargo. Banker.
Oh, and he always banked when he was back in Hawaii.
He worked
back
for
in
Bank
day.
Of Hawaii in Hawaii.
And
now he works
Makes
for
sense.
Wells Fargo and in Vegas.
Wow.
It's very bizarre. No, but houses are a lot cheaper in Vegas. I mean, Hawaii is so much more expensive.
Oh, it is now.
High cost of living, low household income.
Yes.
So, you know, they're squeezed too tight, and now the economy is bad in Hawaii. So they moved to Vegas where they can buy a 6-bedroom house for $100,000, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Unbelievable. I just came back from seeing my sister's house. I was like, wow.
I swear to Christ, I had a conversation about buying a house in Vegas today in my office.
You should see the stuff they have there.
A crank anchor out of
house. Amazingly beautiful houses.
It'll be a crank anchor.
Yeah.
House.
All right. We'll do it. Brad?
Hey.
You're 24?
I'm 24.
What's up?
Well, let's see. I met this girl, became friends with her. We started hanging out and having a good time together. And probably about the third or fourth day that we, you know, went out on a weekend night or whatever and had some fun, she had told me that she's just getting out of a two-year relationship with somebody. And, you know, I thought, well, that's no big deal. And come to find out, it's not only my boss, but it's my boss who's also been married.
Ooh.
Been married for about 13 years and has a kid.
Mm-hmm. What do you do for a living?
What's that?
What do you do for a living?
A wine banker.
I work for the government.
Work?
You work for the government?
Yes.
And your boss works for the government?
Yes.
So he could have you snuffed out if he had to?
Well, the thing is this is completely illegal for him to be doing, so...
Mm-hmm.
Illegal. Military. Yeah. He's in the military.
Immoral.
Well, is he? Does he work with the person he was having the affair with?
Not necessarily, but it's kind of a small location, so, you know, they...
Now, we're trying to figure out why it would be illegal.
Somebody said it.
Military.
Somebody said it's illegal.
Military.
All right. You know what? Is it illegal in terms of there's a code of conduct in the military or in certain branches of government work?
Yes.
Where just adultery is considered...
Yes.
I don't know if it's considered illegal, though. I don't think you can do any time, but I can... You could certainly be might be able to court be martial. Drummed out of yeah. whatever you were drummed into.
Right.
All right. So, Brad, he's done with this thing, though, right?
Yes.
All right. So, you're free and clear.
Well, my problem is I mean, she's a sweet person, and she was kind of with him while I was with her. I mean, she was moving out of it, you know, and this definitely isn't anything like a rebound thing or whatever. I mean, she really cares about me. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about her so much is she's...
She likes you a lot? Yeah. Well, I like people, too.
I work for the government.
Right. So, the question is what's the question?
Well, considering she was in a relationship with a married man, mm-hmm. can I trust her?
Well, it's more about, you know, if there's one person's married and the other person's single, it's the person who's married who you can't trust is not as much as the person who is single. Although, there's some culpability here. But she worked her way out of this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did it go on?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years is a fairly substantial bit of time, so it does suggest there's something going on with her. But then she decided to end it.
Yes.
And had the strength to do it, or the sort of composure to do it.
Yes.
Okay, so that's sort of... One thing that might be good about this whole thing.
It's just an interesting sort of feeling on his part to worry about her trustworthiness. In other words, you know where she's going to be at, which is she needs to have a guy that's unavailable.
Yes.
So as soon as Brad is actually available, she's going to be kind of a problem. She's going to be sort of abandoning and leaving and tending to sort of stray, and Brad's going to be too nice and too boring. But now that she kind of needs that as a fallback position while she's also got the abandoning male, she's okay with it.
Right.
And so his feeling of her it's not being trustworthy is not that she can't contain her impulses or that she couldn't be committed in a relationship.
Yes.
It's that she's not the kind of person who can handle closeness. Maybe yeah. sort of feeling that.
And the fact that she went on with this for 2.5 years, hey, look, if this was 5 months,
yeah.
what are you going to do? But 2.5 years... Yes, I completely concur with my partner, Drew, and you know how I hate to agree with him.
And I bet he's the kind of guy that always talks about how the nice guy gets screwed over.
Okay.
Because he's going for this kind of girl all the time.
Okay.
Right?
I don't want to deconstruct him too much, but Brad?
Yes.
You always wonder why nice guys kind of get screwed over? Is that sort of your think a lot of?
You're...
Okay. Yeah. So, Brad, yeah. she may have issues with... intimacy.
But this is the kind of girl he goes for.
And if you hang on to her too tight and put the full court press on her, right. she may back out.
That's
all right? So okay. you got to understand what you're into here. And here's the thing. Do not press too hard. And if you start feeling insecure, go home.
Get out, yeah.
Don't start putting the screws to her, because the faster you step forward, the faster she'll step back, right. and she'll be running
yeah.
eventually. If you feel like stepping forward... step back and sit down.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
His instincts are correct, although for the wrong reasons.
They're not correct. They're stirring that need for him to go out and get and control that kind of woman.
Right.
Who's a little chaotic, a little crazy, and so I wonder if I can trust her. But it's really not the issue at all. It's just that she's this little bit of chaos.
Sarah? Right.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, she's been on hold for 3 hours.
All right.
Sarah?
Yes?
What's up?
I had a question for Tia. I saw a movie about 2 years ago that had you in it. You played like a blind date, like a commercialized, publicized blind date for this guy who was fed up with relationships, and I can't remember the name of the movie.
Hawaiian Summer 8.
A guy?
Aloha Hawaiian Summer.
It was like,
Aloha,
it was like 40 dates or 30 dates.
Oh, 20 dates.
Was it 20?
Yeah.
That was the coolest movie.
It was like a mockumentary.
Yeah.
Right. That guy came, what was that guy's name?
Miles Berkowitz.
Miles Berkowitz.
Yeah.
He was...
He ended up marrying that girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
She
Elizabeth.
Came up with him or something. She was here, remember?
He was a mild blowhard, as I recall. Nice guy.
Yeah.
But sort of full of himself.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, sort of humble and full of himself.
Yeah.
Glad he doesn't have any real success. I just remember thinking that.
And that's your prerogative.
All right.
All right, Sarah.
Thank you.
Good time, right. Sarah, baby.
Thanks.
Right. Yeah. I remember that movie. He was a nice guy, but... full of his crap at the same time.
Yeah.
Simultaneously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm afraid what you're going to say once I leave here.
Oh,
she was an interesting girl, no. But she had issues.
It'll be brutal, don't worry. Brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about only on the air.
And by the way, okay. we're going to discuss this on the cell phone on the way home. Yes, sure?
All right.
You got your notes? You got your Tia notes?
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
right.
Funny.
All right. We'll be right back. That's the show, everybody. I want to thank Tia Carrera for coming in here tonight because she's a delight.
You're only saying that because I'm here. You're going to say bad things once I leave.
No, you're,
I'm a narcissist.
We've said that to you before, though, no?
No, Tia,
not that you're a narcissist, that we like you.
Tia's a very nice person,
yeah.
A very genuine person, interested in the callers, interested in us, interested in the
kind
show.
Kind of boring.
She's good. You're good. I like that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be nice, but you are.
Hmm.
And I respect you for that, baby.
And you guys are nice, too.
Thanks.
And we should all go and volunteer at his hospital.
At Drew's hospital?
His hospital, yeah.
Drew, why don't you volunteer at your own goddamn hospital?
See?
All right.
Come on, let's do a good deed.
I was a Catholic big brother 8 years ago. I'd done enough.
8 years ago, you were a big brother.
Yeah.
No, you're helping people every day on the phone.
Yeah, goddamn right I am, sister. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying...
Aloha.
Patrick?
Yeah?
You're 14?
I am.
Big A-team fan?
Oh, yeah.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.